Heavenly Father, we come before you knowing that even to call you Father is undeserved. You are God, the King, the Creator, and yet you have loved us so that you have drawn us near. You would call us your friends. And more than friends, children. We just thank you. Lord, I pray for the Skelly specifically tonight, for their whole family. You just minister to them in ways that only you can. But Lord, I pray that you would provide that peace that surpasses all understanding, God. That you would show yourself near to them, show yourself near to them through even this family, this body of believers here at Riverbend. Help us to grieve with them and to encourage them with truth. We pray tonight that we would honor you with what we speak about, that you would see our desire is to be a healthy church. We know we cannot accomplish that without you. All of our efforts would be in vain. So we need your help. Every moment of every day, help us to depend on you. Help us to see our need for you. We pray that Riverbend Community Church would be a beacon of light in this community for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's great to see you tonight. Tonight we are going to be getting into our first distinctive or mark of a healthy church. Last week, we sort of laid the groundwork for this series by discussing a little bit about what this series would not do and what this series would aim to do. This series, if you weren't here last week, maybe you should know, this series is not meant to be a full class on what is the church. We will not be going through every aspect of the church through this series. But rather, we are going to seek to show what are some unique, distinctive marks of healthy churches. That should matter to us because the church is the bride of Christ. Should we desire health? Absolutely. And health is conforming to the scriptures. Health is holiness. Health is shown to us from the Word of God. So healthy churches listen to and follow God's Word. I hope you know that. And you might say, why would we do that? 2 Timothy 3:16, we read this last week, but I want to read it again. It says this, all scripture is inspired by God, that is God-breathed, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So if the Word of God is profitable for those things, and we should have the Word of God be central in all that we do here at Riverbend Community Church, it should be no surprise then that the first distinguishing mark of a healthy church would be expositional preaching. You are going to see a little bit more about that tonight because we may have an idea of what that is, but it may be ill-informed. Expositional preaching, our first point tonight is expositional preaching marks a healthy church because expositional preaching exposes God's word to the people. So I hope you know this. Expositional preaching is incredibly important. Well, why is that? Because last week we mentioned this in passing. All of these distinctives that we will be discussing through this series are based on the Bible. If you lose exposing the scriptures to the church, how can you expect to be biblical in practice? You cannot. You should not. Therefore, if a church constantly exposes what the Word of God says, you can have hope that the other marks will be evident in your church. For example, we mentioned this last week, gospel doctrine. You can expect a biblical understanding of conversion and evangelism and church membership and church discipline and discipleship and growth and church leadership and prayer and missions. All of those things, those marks of a healthy church, are biblical understandings of those things. If we lose the biblical aspect, we've lost it all. We mentioned that last week. But a lot of preaching can be called expositional because some people believe if you just open your Bibles, it is therefore expositional. That is not always the case. So how do we know what legitimate expositional preaching is, and how do we define it and diagnose it? And I'm going to tell you at the outset, there's a bit of irony in speaking about expositional preaching because this is not an expositional sermon. There's a bit of irony in that, and I will say, it's driving me crazy. I do not like topical things because I just love to open this up and preach it to you. But I do believe there is value in going over these things at this time so we can set the tone for where we are going. So, in light of that, let's define what expositional preaching is. And we're going to, this is the second point, expositional preaching defined. You know, you can start by comparing it. Before we get to a formal definition, expositional preaching is often compared to or contrasted with topical preaching. That can be true in some senses. We're going to kind of see how that can be true, but also how it might not be true. Topical preaching can be expositional, but I want to be careful here. The approach to an expositional sermon and the approach to a topical sermon are much different. You might say, well, how? Well, for a topical sermon, the preacher or the one speaking starts with a subject that either they have contrived or somebody has recommended, and they then go to the Bible to find supporting texts in order to present a sermon. In other words, the topical sermon starts with the topic and then goes into the scriptures. So, let's just say I wanted to preach on laziness. So I say, okay, I know what I want to say to the church. I know what I want to say. I know I have to condemn laziness because the Bible condemns laziness. I should probably encourage hard work and discipline and diligence. Okay, so I already know what I want to say, but now I just have to go into the scriptures to say what I want to say. Do you see how that could be dangerous? You're starting with man. That's not always good. In fact, primarily so, it should not be that way. Again, just to clarify, topical sermons can be expositional. In the example I just gave, laziness, I would go to a text that speaks on laziness and we would look at it in its context and speak to that topic from scripture. That can be expositional in nature, but still the approach remains topical. No matter if I pick one text or many, I have contrived the topic. I approach the Bible that way and I want to preach. Expositional sermons start with scripture and develop what should be said from the scriptures. This is a mark of the healthy church. When you have preaching that starts with the word and asks this question, what does the word say? Therefore, I must say it. Some people may reduce expositional preaching to simply like a running commentary on a section of Scripture. That may be a part of it, but it's deeper than that. Expositional preaching is not even just opening the Scriptures and saying, hey, here's a story here, be like this person. That's not necessarily expositional. Expositional preaching, and I want you to listen, I'll repeat it a couple times. If I can even say the word expositional, I'm struggling with that. Expositional preaching is preaching that takes for the point of the sermon the point of a particular passage. I'm going to say that again. Expositional preaching is preaching that takes for the point of the sermon the point of a particular passage. That is, the message is determined by the text. It takes a particular passage of Scripture, explains that passage in its context, and then applies the meaning of the passage to the congregational life. The preacher opens the copy of God's word and lays out what the Bible says so that you will heed it. This is what Ezra and the other Levites did when they opened the law in Nehemiah 8:8. Said they read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. They opened the law, they explained the law so that you might understand and live by it. In other words, we have an example of this as we approach Ephesians, which we just started this past Sunday. When I preach through Ephesians, I should be letting the verses determine what I say. In a sense, I should be enslaved and bound to the book. I do not go into the Ephesians series wanting to say what I'd like to say and hoping to use Ephesians to say it. Rather, I should read what God's word says. I should study it. I should take time to present it and unfold it with clarity so that you might see what God says through Ephesians. In that way, you come to hear God's words, not mine. This is the great beauty of expositional preaching. Its main concern is to proclaim boldly and clearly what the Bible says. A church that has no regard or little regard for the sufficiency and authority of Scripture will not care about expositional preaching. A church that has a low view of Scripture or no regard for the Scripture's authority or sufficiency will not care to be expositional. But the opposite is also true. Any church that has expositional preaching has it because they believe the Scriptures are sufficient and authoritative for you. Not only that, though, because that sounds kind of cold and heartless, sufficient and authoritative. Yes, that's true, but the Word of God is life-giving, sanctifying, helpful. It's a guide for us. This is where the preacher's authority comes from, not because of a position behind a pulpit, but because he should be a mouthpiece for the word of God. God's word is your authority. Do you want to know if something in your life is pleasing to the Lord? Look to God's word. If you need help figuring out if something is in accordance with God's word, go to somebody who can help you. But if that person that you go to for help does not lead you to Scripture, be warned. And if that person leads you against Scripture, reject it. God's word is your authority. So whether you dislike or like the preacher himself, or if you wish he had more hair, which some of you do, I've heard. They mess with me, okay? But we've been blessed for 35 years to have teaching elders with great hair. I'm not one of them. So sorry to break the trend. Thank you, Pastor Jason. Or Aaron. Who said it? Aaron. Both of which have hair problems. But here's the thing. Whether or not somebody has enough hair or the right clothes or the right demeanor for you, do they proclaim the word of God? That's what matters. That's why you are here. You are here. We call this a worship service because you're here to worship. You worship through the word of God. We sing the word of God. We pray the word of God, right? You see it displayed in ordinances and you hear the word of God proclaimed. If I speak to you of my personal opinion on something, know this, it has no authoritative weight on your life. But if I speak the word of God to you, then that is your authority. The preacher ought not to be an entertainer, although the word of God should get our attention. The preacher is not primarily concerned with being an eloquent speaker, although they should be clear. The preacher is merely a proclaimer of God's word. That is the mark of a healthy church. Is that church concerned with what a man would say or concerned with what God says? You can see this even in 1 Corinthians 1 when Paul asks, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." And he then says, "When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Why? Why do we do that? Because, verse 5, "so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." Paul came to preach the words of God. He didn't care primarily about being eloquent. You go to church not to hear from your preacher. You don't do that. You go to church to worship God. That's why you go to church. So you expect the preacher would lead you to worship by showing you the word and boldly and clearly proclaiming it. Thirdly, the lack of expositional preaching is dangerous. Topical sermons absolutely have their time and place, such as we're doing now. But here's the thing, there are major dangers that lie in front of the congregation who has the majority of their sermons preached topically. Massive ones. One, this could lead to the whole counsel of God's word not being even looked at. It could be based upon a man's assessment of what the church needs. And therefore, you may be subject to hearing only what a man wants to tell you. This could also lead to a preacher only preaching what they know well or what they would consider strengths. They are never pushed to grow in the knowledge and the truth. They want to stay on their hobby horses. They want to stay in their little corner for whatever they're comfortable in. But the man who preaches expositionally is constantly growing and learning new things because he doesn't approach the text with what he knows. He goes to the text and say, "Teach me, Lord." He has a readiness to say what God says. He's constantly growing in knowledge. The topical preacher will be stunted in that growth and knowledge. Fourthly, topical preaching alone can really lead to scriptures being taken out of context often. You see this happen all the time. Let me give you a kind of a funny example. Let's just say I thought our congregation needed hope. So I wanted to pick a passage and I open up my Bibles and I think, okay, I'd like to say something encouraging to them. I turn and I look at Philippians 4:13 and I say, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That means you, congregation, whatever obstacles you have, you can overcome them. You can overcome them. See, it says that. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You want wealth? You can have it. Pursue that. You can do all things through him who strengthens you. Hopefully your alarm bells are going off. That's not what that passage is about. In fact, you look at its context and you see Paul is saying, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That is not a passage of primarily overcoming an obstacle. It is a passage showing your contentment in Christ. But you see, topical preaching can lend towards those types of out-of-context sermons. That is not faithful handling of the word. It can also lead to hiding from certain difficult passages. The thing I love about going through a book of the Bible, and you should too, is because whatever difficult passages are found in Ephesians, we got to go through it. We're going to go through it together. And you would notice if I skipped five verses, right? You would notice. Why did he just take out all of chapter 5 on marriage? That's strange. You can't hide from difficult passages when you go verse by verse, word by word. This doesn't mean we'll ever have a full, complete understanding of everything, but it just means this protects the preacher and the congregation from hiding or avoiding difficult things. It also, topical preaching alone can lead to your ears being tickled. That means to being preached at, or I guess receiving preaching what you want to hear. So many people have stopped preaching expositionally because they want to just preach whatever their congregation wants to hear. Do you think, honestly, if you know yourself, that you know what's best for you at any given moment? No. How many times have you heard the word of God faithfully proclaimed and you didn't even know you needed that passage? And you were struck to your core in your heart because it's not the words of man, it's the words of God that is piercing through. Even worse, it can lead to an incomplete gospel being presented. Preachers who just want to speak on love and grace and mercy, but don't want to talk about all that sin, wrath, and that place called hell. It can lead to a partial gospel, which is no gospel at all. Nobody said it's easy to preach on those things. But if it's in the word of God, it should be preached on. Fourthly, expositional preaching is biblical. That should matter to you. 2 Timothy 4:2 through 4 says this, preach the word. Preach the word. Not your word-informed opinions. Preach the word, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Why? Why does Paul tell Timothy to be faithful to this? He says in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. Do you not see that being fulfilled today? and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Many preachers may shift away from expositional preaching because they know it's going to offend someone and they feel the pressure of that. People want to be told how good they are, not how much they need help. They want to be told how amazing they are and how they don't need to change. They want to be told how God is love, but forget the justice and wrath part. Expositional preaching is faithful preaching because preaching is meant to proclaim God's word. And here's some beautiful reminders of this, as if you needed to be reminded why it's good to hear God's word. The words of God in his word are life-giving. Paul calls the scriptures this. He says in Philippians 2, holding fast the word of life. John 6, 66 through 68 says this, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus' message were words of eternal life, right? The gospel message. You agree with this, yes? But not only that, the beautiful thing was, it wasn't just his message. He was the word of life. And he is the word of life. That's why we preach Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We even just sang that in our second song. Jesus even says on the road to Emmaus that all the writings from Moses and the prophets were speaking about him. So the Holy Scriptures are life-giving because they point us to the life-giver. It's amazing. Romans 10 says this, so faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Spiritual life comes from the word. And you should rejoice at this because this is nothing new. God has been creating life through his word from the very beginning. You can look back at creation. He spoke creation into existence. You even remember that passage in Ezekiel with the land and the valley of the dry bones. God speaks through Ezekiel. He says, speak my words. The bones are made alive. When Lazarus is dead and in the tomb, Jesus says, come forth. And he comes out. So he grants spiritual life through his word. Why would we want to proclaim anything else? My words don't grant any life. In fact, if it was just my words, I'd probably do more harm than good. But this word is life-giving. Not only that, the word of God is sanctifying. It grows us in holiness. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. God's word is necessary for salvation, but also for sanctification, because not only does the word of God stoke the flames of our affections towards Jesus Christ, not only that, but it acts as a guide for us to walk in holiness. You know this passage well. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of God exposes our sin and leads us in paths of righteousness. Why? So that we might live in a manner worthy of the calling with which we've been called. You know, there's a motto that has been passed down since the Reformation in Reformed churches. It says this, the church reformed, always being reformed, according to what? The word of God. This does not mean always changing as in something new, but always being reformed. Called back to live in accordance with the word of God. The word of God is life-giving and sanctifying. Fifthly, expositional preaching results in healthy growth. This should matter to us, because we should be asking the question, what would this mean for Riverbend Community Church and other churches that pursue this? If the Word of God is boldly and clearly exposed to the congregation week in and week out, and that very Word of God we've already established is life-giving, sanctifying, profitable for reproof, instruction, correction, training in righteousness, then you can and should expect growth in the spiritual health of that church. The church would be growing in spiritual health because they're being fed and nourished by the Word. That is good news. Now, of course, the Word proclaimed and preached must be heeded and obeyed as well. But the mere presence of expositional preaching guards against all kinds of errors. So again, I am not saying that you can have no topical sermons, but the regular steady diet of the called out ones of God should be the Word of God, which leads to their health. I want to give an example of this, because when we think of health and growth and habits and steady diets, it just makes me think of my own failings. I love desserts. I love them. And the worst thing is when it's your birthday, desserts just appear. I'm not joking, 6 different helpings of desserts yesterday. 6. I started my day because my wife made a wonderful ice cream cake. And I just thought, what better way to start a day than to take a piece of ice cream cake? And I did. And I fed some to Wesley. That's not good, but I did it. Then I proceeded, and we had in the office cake that was made for birthdays in the office, and I had 3 different slices of cake. I even hid one away in my office so I could come back to it later. Then later that night, I had 2 brownies with scoops of ice cream. Let me tell you why this matters. Because if that was my daily steady diet, you could expect my health to deteriorate, and deteriorate rapidly. So you can expect churches that avoid a steady, regular diet of expositional preaching, you can expect them to also deteriorate rapidly. But if the Word of God is central in all of our church life and worship, and that includes the preaching, then we are on the right trajectory for spiritual health. Now, that does not necessarily mean growth numerically or in popularity. We've already read the passage that said the times will come where people will not endure sound doctrine any longer. They will seek out teachers who tickle their ears and tell them what they want to be told. So we might not grow numerically or in popularity, but I will tell you this. It will mean that our ministry here at Riverbend will be centered on what is right and good. The gospel will be faithfully proclaimed, and if that is the case, people's lives will be changed. God will be honored, and we will grow in holiness, and we will receive, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We're not concerned about growth numerically or in popularity. Who cares? We want to live for Christ. We want to grow in spiritual health, not for our own namesake, but for the one who bought us. Sixthly, the congregation's role in expositional preaching. This matters, because you might be tempted to think, well, that's good, that's his job to do. You have a responsibility too. So, we have a few points of application to discuss. Firstly, you'll see all 5 on the screen as well. Expect and crave the Word of God proclaimed. Come ready to hear the Word of the Lord. Train your palate to such an extent where if the word of God is lacking, you walk out of this place starved. Thirst for the words of the Lord, not for the words of men. Deuteronomy 8:3, of course, says, and this is the passage that Jesus quoted when being tempted, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. That is to be our diet, our craving, our sustenance. And if you ever go to a church where that is not practiced, I'm not saying to run out the doors, but you should ask the leaders about it and see, was that just a one-off sermon, a topical sermon, or after a few in a row, wait, do we even care about preaching the word of God? Go ask. If leaders of a church have no interest in proclaiming God's word, that's when you need to leave. You have to. Not only that, but train yourself to be an expositional listener. Work hard at listening to the preaching, not because you want to pass a test later, but because it's the words of God, at least it should be, from the scriptures. Work hard at listening. Secondly, encourage expositional preaching. You might say, well, how do I do that? Well, you all do this very well, I will say. But encourage any pastor or any teacher that teaches or preaches expositionally. Do you know why that is encouraging to us? Because a lot of people don't like it. So it's nice to know that someone does. We're humans, we're weak. There's always temptations to not say something difficult. But when we are encouraged by you, we are reminded that's right. It's right and good, even if they're not going to like it. But I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it with boldness because the Word of God says it. But not only encouraging your pastors, encourage it by talking about the word of God preached with your friends amongst the body. Instead of asking, what'd you think of the service today? Because that usually leads to all kinds of peripheral concerns. Instead ask, how were you impacted by the word of God today? Did you discover anything new from God's word? How did the word of God proclaimed lead you to love God more? That's how you can encourage expositional preaching and expositional listening. Thirdly, examine it. Study it for yourself. I had somebody tell me this past week, they are studying Ephesians with me. I love that. I love that because there's accountability. And there's also a thirst and desire to know truth. Pastors and preachers are fallible men. We make mistakes. We fail. So ensure that the preacher is telling you truth by studying God's word yourself. That's why you should bring the word of God. And I do recommend a physical copy of God's word. Why? That, is that legalistic to say, hey, I have a physical copy of God's word as opposed to a phone? No, it's not legalistic because you know when you have your phone, all kinds of distractions come up. It robs you from listening, not to the words of a man, but to the words of God. So it matters. Bring a Bible. Look at it. See it. Make sure that's what the Bible says. Study it for yourself. Study through the Ephesians series. Wrestle with it. Come prepared. You have a responsibility to not let this church drift from the preaching of God's word. You have a responsibility. You say, well, is that really true? When Paul writes to the Galatian church, and the Galatians have been led astray to believe a false gospel, he does not say, oh, foolish pastors of the Galatian church. He says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? There's a responsibility on you to guard the word of God proclaimed. so that we might not drift from it. Fourthly, humbly receive it. Here's one of the biggest temptations, and I know it is at this church because this church knows a lot of theology. One of the temptations is to listen to sermons very well. You become a professional sermon listener. You can name all the points, and you can apply it to somebody else's life. You're like, yes, point number one belongs to that person. Point number two is over here. I've got a family member where point three needs to, you know, all this stuff. You could become a professional sermon listener. This is for you. Humbly receive God's word. It is meant for you. Sure, use it for an encouragement to others. But the preaching of God's word is meant to impact you. First, receive it, conform to it, because it's not the words of men, it's the words of God. Fifthly, and this matters, pray. Pray for the one preaching. Pray that God would grant wisdom to understand and to clearly communicate. This is hard. This takes a lot of time. I need your help. Please, you can help me by praying. I know many of you do, but there are so many times where I know God's answering the prayers of you, because when I'm wrestling with a passage, I feel stuck. I go for a walk outside and I come back and I'm still stuck. And then all of a sudden, God helps me see. And I'm reminded, that's you. Of course, it's Christ's kindness, but it's you praying for me. And not just me, whoever preaches God's word, pray for them. But not only the preacher, pray for the recipients. Pray for yourself that you might see, might conform. If there are lost people in the room, pray that God would quicken their hearts, that they would come to life to see. If there are those discouraged, and you could probably think of many people that are discouraged, pray for their encouragement in the word. Pray for the saved, pray for the lost, pray for the preacher, pray for the recipients, pray that this church would be marked by a commitment to God's word through expositional preaching. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word, the life-giving, sanctifying, profitable word. I am so thankful that I do not have to come up with the things to say. Your word says it. I pray that our church would be marked by expositional preaching and listening and a love and reliance on the word of God. Help us never to drift from that. We pray that we would be anchored in the word, that we would know the word, and that we would love the word, that we would be ready to receive what the word has to tell us. Grant us the strength to apply it. Grant us the humility to see that your word is meant for us. I pray for the churches in our area, that expositional preaching would be the mark of their churches, because we are not about our church here. We are about the capital C church, the kingdom of God. I pray that you would please let us conform to your word. Keep my lips from error, for I'm so prone to it. Let only your words remain, and may we be transformed into your likeness because of that. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.